I'm Cyndi Lauper with fellow Cosentyx advocate, Chef Michelle Bernstein.
We'll share our experiences with plaque psoriasis, with psoriatic arthritis, and Dr. Panico will talk about the possible connection.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB, serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. It may lower your ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com/Cyndi.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So Klay Thompson is widely revered as one of the all-time greatest members of the Golden State Warriors. And today we're going to honor him. And we're going to honor him with, if there's any player that you could call a greater all-time Golden State Warrior than Klay Thompson, it's the guest I'm bringing on the show today. Hall of Famer, NBA top 50 player, I say top 25, Rick Barry. Acknowledge and appreciate Klay Thompson's greatness. We're also going to touch on the Buddy Hield signing. It's now official, and kind of recap how this offseason is going. Let's get into it. Rick Barry's joining me. This is the Golden Day!
That is it for us today, and we will leave you with a... I can't do it. We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! And things suck! Woo! Let's go!
In a minute, I'ma need a sentimental man or woman to pump me up. Come on and break me off. Cause I get what I want and I like what I
Yeah, welcome to the Golden Days. I am Cyrus Sotsas, and that gentleman right next to me is one of the greatest players in the history of the NBA, Rick Barry. You can follow him on all social media platforms at Rick24Barry. It's super easy. I'm on Threads and Instagram at DogWild. Rick, how are you doing today, sir? Great to see you.
Well, I'm doing great every day that I get up. So happy 4th of July to everyone.
Yes.
Country is such a great country. Hopefully we're not going to screw it up any worse than it's being screwed up. But anyway, let's not get into the political aspect of stuff. Let's go and talk about what you have in store today. Klay Thompson, still disappointed that he's leaving. And I'm going to say this, and this is, you know, I love Klay, you know that, and I've respected what he's done for the Warriors and appreciative of that. But it's not easy to pick up and leave when you've been someplace for a while, and it doesn't always work out exactly like you would hope it would work out. Just ask Kevin Durant about that. And of course, he's been here a lot longer than Kevin Durant and has experienced multiple championships, had a great relationship, certainly with probably all of his teammates, but especially with Draymond and Steph. I hope it works for you, Klay. I really, truly do. Certainly you're going to a team with a lot of other great players, an opportunity to help them. And certainly he should be a big help to them coming off the bench. If he's accepted that with the Warriors. He's going to do that, I'm sure. But maybe in some games, depending on the matchups, maybe I'll put him in the starting lineup. I don't know, but you would assume that he's going to come off the bench. But Amy, what better opportunity for a guy who's one of the greatest shooters in the history of the game that your role to get paid millions of dollars is to come off the bench and they're going to get you the ball so you can shoot? I mean, that's a pretty good deal, right?
Right. Absolutely right.
Because the real answer, why did he actually leave? Was he so upset with what the Warriors offered him?
Yes.
To want to leave? I mean, he's taking less money per year, isn't it, than what the Warriors offered him? He just gets an extra year.
Well, Ramona Shelbourne and Larry Kruger and I, we did a 2-hour show yesterday. It was one of the rare times I got exhausted from talking. We went for 2 hours, covered this in detail. Ramona Shelbourne wrote a whole story on it. Apparently, Klay Thompson's, and just to summarize for those who missed it or want a more brief summary of the story, Klay Thompson started to harbor resentment against and toward the Warriors following the 2022 championship. According to the story, Klay wanted to have contract extension discussions following the title, and the Warriors were not embracing that. And apparently, since then, Klay's watched Jordan Poole get the extension, saw Andrew Wiggins get the extension, saw Draymond Green get the extension, and he's sitting here saying, what the hell am I, a chopped liver? And so it came down to that, and apparently the Warriors kept telling him, wait and wait, because they wanted to make other moves first. And by the time it came around to dealing with Klay was over it. He was done. And the craziest part is, one of the crazy parts, I don't know if this is craziest, but the Warriors offered Klay last summer, 2 years, $48 million. We all know about this. Klay turned it down. Supposedly, according to the story, toward the end of all these back and forths, Klay and his representative supposedly sent 4+ offers to the Warriors that they just ignored. The final offer was 2 years for $40 million. The Warriors replied with, wait and see. We need to get these other deals done first before we can figure out how much money we have left over to fit you in. And Klay was like, I'm not waiting. Like, he just felt disrespected. And based off that information, Rick, what are your thoughts?
I can relate to it. I mean, hell, I mean, I left the Warriors. He's talking about $40 million. I left the Warriors over $10,000. And I didn't want to leave. I mean, seriously. Yeah. I mean, and they didn't even come. If they had come back to me and give me the money, I wouldn't have left. They didn't even come back to me and offer me the extra $10,000. I mean, that's how stupid that was back in those days. I went to the Rockets over $10,000 stupid dollars. And it was a matter of principle. So I can understand where he's coming from to feel like, well, wait a second. I mean, especially with all the other things that were transpiring with the other players, as you mentioned and explained. Yeah, I can understand where he came from. All I'm saying is that, Klay, I hope it works for you, because it doesn't always work out to be the best situation for you. I hope it does. I can't say I hope you get another championship, because that means the Warriors don't. So, I hope it works. I really do. And thanks for all of what you did for the team. You were unbelievable. Yeah. I'm an amazing shooter. I think it's great that Cyrus is putting together this tribute to you in the top 10. How are we going to do this? We going 10 down to 1? Is that how
we're going to go? And I even have an honorable mention, because I couldn't leave out number 11. So we got an honorable mention. And
then 10.
Number one, just reminiscing on each of these moments, because 13 years. How many years did you play for the Warriors?
Well, I started out and played my first two, and then I left, and I came back and played more. So I didn't play that many years with the Warriors. I mean, but I would have liked to. I would have, I wouldn't have left the Rockets. I wouldn't have left and gone to the Rockets if that were the case. But everything in life happens for a reason. See, that's the big thing. You have to understand. I live by that because I've experienced it. I mean, hell, I'm twice as old as you are. And I mean, I know for a fact it's true. Sometimes you might find out in 5 minutes later. It might be 5 days later. It might be 5 months later. It might be 5 years later. But eventually something's going to transpire in your life that you're going to say, hey, now I know why that happened back then, because this would not have been able to have happened if I had done what I didn't do, So it's really crazy, and it does work that way. So there's something that's going to happen to Klay in his life going to Dallas that if he hadn't made the decision to do that, it would not have happened, And in my case, it was – you know, getting the most amazing woman ever that I have as a wife, and getting her bringing me another incredible son that I'm going to enjoy at the Olympics, my son Canyon. I mean, it's like that never would have happened if I had not left the war, you know, had not left. And I mean, and done the things that I did. I mean, whatever it is. I mean, this, I'd like to relate to, I love space stuff all the time. Always, when I was a kid, I always loved space stuff.
Oh, hell yeah.
Space time continuum gets screwed up if you don't do certain things. And everything worked out. As I said, I would never have left the Warriors if I knew that I, especially now, if I could go back in time and do it, only if I knew that I could still have, you know, the amazing wife and the son that I have and the other friends that I've managed to make over the years. And all of that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't left. So Clay, something's there. It's going to happen for you. It was meant to be. And we're disappointed that you're gone. You know, at least Cyrus and I are. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of other people feel the same way. And I'm sorry that it worked out the way that it did, but I can totally and completely empathize with what you're going through. I mean, come on, $10,000 for me it was.
Yeah.
You got to be freaking kidding me. I remember
and just to add to that, Rick, Douglas Mikes in the chat writes, wait, that's not the right one. Maybe that is. No, that's not the one I wanted to highlight.
Oh, keep looking. I'll finish my thing. Find the thing you're looking for. If mine, I'm sitting with Scotty Sterling. He used to be with the Raiders for years. All right. And he's the GM. And Franklin Muley's off on a cruise somewhere. And he's not around. He was the owner of the team. And he says to me, Rick, I can't believe you're going to blow this deal over $10,000. I looked at him and said, Scotty, I think you got it backwards.
Right back.
How are you blowing this deal? You're willing to let me go over $10,000. I said, come on. There's something wrong with this. So
yeah, this was our mutual friend, Sam Batesh, who was your producer before I took over way back when in our KNBR days. You know, he went to Fox Sports. He recruited me to go to Fox Sports, and I never took the job because we haggled over $5,000. And I'm like, and it was the same argument. It's like you can't give $5,000. I mean, don't put this on me. It's a two-way street. In the same way that you think I should be appreciative of what you're offering, you should be offering just a little more to show your appreciation. It's a two-way street. I'm totally with you. And I highlighted this Douglas Mikes comment here just because he wrote, I think Clay also still thinks he's a starter who can play significant minutes. But according to the story, Clay, granted, he was resigned to this, but he agreed to a lesser role. Apparently, this was not a make or break thing. Him starting, him, you know, playing significant minutes. Like, they told him he was going to be a sixth man, essentially, and he was okay with that. It was just a money thing and a respect thing, as you point out.
I don't even think it was the money.
It was just respect.
I don't think it necessarily was the money. I think he just didn't feel as though they cared as much about him as they did other things. And so, I mean, you know, your pride is an important thing, and how you feel, and you want to feel wanted and appreciated. And I guess with all the time that he spent and all that he did for this team to have success that they have, to have been treated that way, it was obviously a miscalculation on the part of the Warriors to do that. But again, it may all work out, because we're talking about, you know, Buddy Hield's coming. This is a guy who was an unbelievable great shooter. He struggled when he first came in. He's gotten better. And all of a sudden, now they got a guy who's younger. Okay, and so who knows? Maybe he's going to be a real factor for the Warriors' chances for success. Who knows?
Absolutely, and I'm glad you shifted to Buddy Hield. And we're going to get back to Clay, because again, we have this list we're going to present in terms of his 10 plus greatest moments ever. We're going to take a trip down memory lane here, but real fast, I want to share this post from Adrian Wojnarowski, the man who breaks almost all the news in the NBA. Because the Buddy Hield trade, sign and trade more specifically, is official. And according to Adrian Wojnarowski, Buddy Hield is going to join the Warriors on a sign and trade deal, guaranteed for 2 years, $21 million. Hield will get $18 million in the first 2 years, a $3 million partial guarantee in the third year, a player option on a non-guaranteed fourth year. So what this essentially turns out to, Rick, is the Warriors lost Klay Thompson, but they got back D'Anthony Melton. They got back Buddy Hield. I thought the Quentin Post signing draft was awesome. He fits exactly what the Warriors need. I don't know anything about Lindy Waters. I'm going to bring on in the near future a OKC Thunder reporter to give us some insights on him. But in essence, that's what it was. They lost Klay and they got these other pieces back. Is this a win for the Warriors in the big picture? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, we don't know. I mean, it's always an unknown.
Yeah.
You just never know. Just like the same thing. How is it going to work? How is the clay going to fit in Dallas? It's an unknown. I mean, you just don't know when you make changes. You don't know how the chemistry is going to be. You just don't know. And so on paper, it looks like it's a good deal for him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great deal. Great deal, actually, I think. Yeah. And there's still one more. Every indication is that there's still one more move that we're all waiting on. Lauri Markkanen's name is very much associated.
I like that too, Rick.
If the Warriors can make that deal without giving up Jonathan Kuminga, this is a wildly successful offseason. What do you think?
I like him. I think he's a really nice player. He can do a lot of good things. He understands how to play the game. Because as we've talked about before, as great a job as Kayvon Looney did, and he's nice to come in and, you know, play a little defense if he needed, whatever. I mean, nobody had to guard him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they lost to the Lakers a couple of seasons back. They lost to the Lakers because of the fact that when Draymond is in, Davidson and LeBron stayed in the freaking post. They stayed in the paint the whole game. And the Warriors hardly ever even got an inside basket going to the basket. I mean, you got to have a well-rounded game. You got to be able to get inside, outside, do the things you can do in both places. So, yeah, I think Markkanen would be a great addition to the team. No question.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let's hope that happens. It's a wait and see. I was hoping today, Independence Day, 4th of July, would be the day we hear their news. Kind of like going back to, what was it, 2016, 17, when the Warriors on Independence Day were blessed, Warriors fans were blessed with the news that Kevin Durant was coming to the team. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully that news drops soon. Clarence Beeks in the chat, by the way, asking, where is the 75 documentary? Rick, you've been talking about this for years. I know there's a documentary being made.
It's almost done. I haven't had a chance. I'm hoping to get a chance to see it when it's completed. But it's right now the plans are tentatively, and I hope they listen to the suggestion I gave. They wanted to do something around All-Star Weekend since it's in going to be in San Francisco. I said that's the worst possible time you could possibly do it. There's too much going on during All-Star Weekend. I mean, there's 9 million things to exaggerate, like my wife usually does. Everything's going on. You want to have it so it's focused on that, and there's not a lot of distraction. To me, the two perfect times to have the premiere would be in January prior to the All-Star and in between all the playoff games for the NFL. That's a good time. Or the other time would be late February when the All-Star game is over, March Madness hasn't started at all. And I think, you know, that would be the best thing. And it's in the year of 50, almost 50 years later, because it happened obviously in May, but the 50th anniversary of the Warriors championship. It's just almost inconceivable to me that it's taken 50 freaking years to do a documentary on the most amazing accomplishment by a professional team in the four major sports in the United States of America in championship history. It's beyond my comprehension that it's taken this long with all the documentaries you've seen out there of so many other teams and so many stuff going on. Finally, it's getting done. As they say in life, the best things in life are worth waiting for. Now, the sad part about it is, that a lot of our guys are gone. You know, they never had the opportunity to even see something of that nature. This is something that should have been done many, many, many years ago. I mean, we lost Phil Smith and we lost Dirk Dickey in their 40s. I mean, but still, it should have been done at a time when everybody was still alive and everybody could have enjoyed the fact that we're getting recognized for the great accomplishment. But again, as you say, everything happens for a reason, and hopefully everybody will stay alive until January, if that's when they're going to do it, who are still here, because we keep losing people all the time. And, you know, prayers are going out. Obviously, you know, Al Attles has been struggling and doing stuff. Hopefully, you know, he'd be around and still there for it. But who knows? We don't know. Hell, I don't know if I'm going to be there. You don't know if you're going to be around tomorrow. I mean, look at what's happened with some of our other great, with Bill Walton. I mean, I had no idea. All of a sudden, he got diagnosed with something. 3 months later, he's dead. I mean, come on. It's crazy. Life is strange. But, it is going to be done, and that's the most important thing. It will eventually be done. So, God bless you for that. So let's get into our stuff here.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, and just to add to that real fast, going back a second here, you're right. I cannot believe it's about to be 50 years since you were the finals MVP. And because I remember when the Warriors won the first of the four titles during this dynasty, they won that first one on the 40-year anniversary.
Right.
And we're now at 50. You're right. The passage of time is insane. I want to take a step back real fast, too, just to show appreciation for your romantic spirit. When you highlight the positive of the whole thing with you leaving the Warriors for the Rockets, it led to you finding your wife, and you have a beautiful fifth son who's accomplishing great things himself. He's going to be an Olympian this summer, and we could talk about that at some point if you want in 3-on-3 basketball. But I also wanted to touch on the romantic thing. I don't know if you're aware of this. Jonathan Kuminga's dad could have been a professional basketball player, could have even played in the NBA, chose to stay in his home country in Africa because he met his future wife. And I like stories like that. Maybe I'm cheesy. I don't know. But I just wanted to.
Well, if he had chosen to do that, we wouldn't have Kuminga.
That's true. Exactly. There you go. There you go. Everything happens for a reason, as you say. And Kuminga has three brothers, by the way. That's a whole other story. I did a show on that a few weeks back if you want to check that out. All right. So Klay Thompson. And again, one more time, the Lauri Markkanen news. If that happens or if any big news happens, we'll host a show here right away. I'll try to drag Rick from wherever he's at playing pickleball or hanging out with his family onto the show if he's available. But regardless, we'll do a show immediately. But for now. And last thing before we move on, my understanding is the way I'm reading the tea leaves here is I think part of what's holding up this trade is the Warriors do want to move on from Andrew Wiggins, and they're trying to find a third team because apparently the Utah Jazz don't want Wiggins. They have no interest in that contract and or the player. So they're trying to find a third team who can take Wiggins' contract. And I think that the mechanisms of that are holding this thing up. So I just want to inform people, at least from me reading the tea leaves, that's what's preventing this deal from being greenlit right now. And let's hope it happens.
Well, Klay let's Thompson. just add one thing to that, just so people have a total understanding. It is such a convoluted situation when you start trying to do stuff now with salary caps and all of the other dollars that are involved. It's not just trying to make a trade because of a player. Because the salary cap, the salary has so much to do with it and where they stand with that and how much money it could cost them if they're over the cap. And so you really almost have to have a degree in that now to really fully understand. I mean, that's why I don't even pay any attention to it. I don't do it. Hey, when he gets done, let's talk about the basketball. Can they play? Will they help him in this regard? Trying to figure out, I'm not going to waste my time at this stage of my life. I said, the last thing I want to do is that. Just like the last thing I'm going to do in my life is learn how to tie flies for fly fishing. Okay, forget it. I'm not, you know, I don't need to do that.
Absolutely. I love it. All right. So let's compile this list. We're going from 10 to 1. These are Klay Thompson's greatest moments over the past 13 years. That's how many years he played. And Rick, I'm going to look this up. I'm curious to know how many years you actually played for the Warriors. Because like you said, you played your first 2 years of professional basketball with the Warriors. Then you went to the ABA.
Well, then I came back and I played 73 to 78. So if I played probably 7 years.
Okay. That's a good run. And what's incredible is you've set all these records that still stand to this day. Every time you ever watch NBA postseason basketball, I'm constantly elated seeing you show up on all these lists because you still own so many records from your playing days. So it was approximately 7, though, where you actually were a member of the Golden State Warriors. You were the 75 Finals MVP, which is still remarkable and incredible in my book. All right, so here's a drum roll. I hope I don't violate any copyright playing this.
Okay. Yes, sir. Honorable mentions first, though. Your first extra one, right? Your honorable mention one.
Yes, sir. The honorable mention for the Klay Thompson 10 greatest moments. Honorable mention is the 2016 three-point contest. Oh, sorry about that. So let me start that again. I don't know what that distraction was. 2016, Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry were the finalists in the three-point contest. They exploded onto the scene at this point. The Warriors were the reigning world champions. They were in the middle of their 73-win season. And Klay Thompson beat Steph in that three-point contest. Again, honorable mention. Rick, what are your thoughts on three-point contests? People have seemed to just eat this stuff up. You know, some people think it's boring. Others think it's entertaining.
No. No. To me, it's the one thing that really is significant, that it means your skill. You say, yeah, the other skill thing. The skill thing's crazy. It all came down to the last shot, whether you made the shot at the free throw line. The other stuff is crazy. This is the true thing. This is a great competition. The better shooters are going to win who shoot best at that particular time. So there's no fluke to this thing. It's a skill. It's a matter of being able to shoot the ball fairly quickly. What's this time clock from various spots on the floor? And I love it. I think to me, it's the most enjoyable one because it's the one true competition that makes some sense.
Yeah, I love it too. The slam dunk contest has become very boring for me, but the 3-point contest, you're right, it's objective. There's no judging based on style. It's how many you make. And I respect that too. So I put that as an honorable mention. Number 10. We're going in reverse order here from least to best. Klay Thompson's comeback. And more specifically in this list, when I say comeback, I'm referring more specifically to his first game back after missing 2 years. He scored 17 points in that first game. It was against the Cavaliers. And what stuck out to me the most was the dunk. Do you remember that? Like
I remember. I said, wow, okay.
Yeah.
And here's my comment, because I think we talked about this, is that for me, having had knee surgeries and stuff of that nature, it was one play that I had in a game. It was back in the ABA days. And I made a steal in an overtime. And I went down the floor and I went up and to dunk it, because I got wrapped up in the, you know, in the excitement and the emotion of what was going on. And so I wasn't thinking about my knee. And I went up and, hell, I actually got up pretty high and dunked the hell out of it. And for me, it was like a breakthrough moment. Hey, my knee's okay. And maybe that was the same, only Klay could answer that, but it might've been the same thing for him. Here he did all this stuff and he went up and he probably got caught up in the emotion again and the excitement. And maybe he had the same feeling mentally that, oh, my knee's okay.
He actually said that. I remember him saying that after the fact, that I swear it was almost like an identical answer to what you said, that where the adrenaline took over. He went up and slammed it and then was a little worried after, like, should I have done that? So I'm going to put that as number 10, just because 2 years, two devastating injuries, a torn ACL and then a torn Achilles, which I think is even worse.
Each one of those injuries is a potential career ending injury. Yeah, no, so he had two potential career ending injuries and came back from them and had this many years that he's played at such a high level. Yeah, he had an off season. He still shot 38% from 3-point range. I mean, how many guys in the league shoot 38% from 3-point range, yeah, right? And he still averaged, you know, what did he average? 17 points, 18 points a game still? I mean, impressive.
And 19 in the postseason. And we're going to touch on that because there's a moment from that postseason run as well. Number 9, I don't know what this means, from Ben Matula Canadino. I'm sorry, I don't understand what that means. All right, number 9. And this is the only moment that's going to cover an entire season, and that is the 2014-15 season. Klay Thompson made his first all-star team that year. He averaged 21.7 points per game that year, and he was either the second or third best player, depending on your personal opinion, on a world championship team, the first Warriors title team in 40 years since you won a title, sir, with the Warriors. Your thoughts on that season?
Well, any time that you play well enough to be chosen to be an all-star player means you had a pretty darn good season. And anytime you can average 20 points or more in an NBA season, that's a remarkable accomplishment. Very few players. I mean, you just think of the thousands of players who have played in the history of the NBA. How many of them ever had one season where they averaged 20 points a game?
Not many.
Right.
And especially when you're scoring that much and it's contributing to wins, right? There's a lot of empty scorers out there. Klay's points were not empty. And on this note, I didn't include this in the list, but when I think back to these early years, I think even further back to 2012-13, when the Warriors made the postseason and they pushed San Antonio in the second round after upsetting the Nuggets in the first round, George Karl's team, and that was infamous because George Karl thought his player at the time, Andre Iguodala, was sliding secrets and information over to the Warriors and Mark Jackson. And then Iguodala comes to the Warriors after that. But Klay Thompson to me in that Spurs series, because they pushed the Spurs to 6. And that to me was really where the dynasty started to take form. Just because the Spurs were such a powerhouse club, Rick. I don't know if you remember
The Spurs. The Spurs were what the Lakers did during their run, and what the Celtics did during their run during their time. And so, I would think confidence wise, it was an incredible confidence booster. And confidence is such a critical element in success. Trust me. In fact, if anything, all the great things when I talk to businesses and people or whatever, that's one of the things that I lead up to, is that you have to believe in yourself to truly maximize your full potential. You must have confidence in your skills and your abilities. That's what you train for. And being able to take such a dominant team to the brink of possibly upsetting them, they had to make them feel good about going into the next season.
Absolutely, sir. Number 8 on the list of Klay Thompson's greatest moments as a Golden State Warrior, 10 straight three-point shots made versus the LA Lakers, the only player in NBA history to ever drop 10 consecutive threes in a single game. He finished with 44 points in 27 minutes. Do you remember that game specifically?
The sick part. Well, it's sick to make 10 in a row, but
it is to
do that and get 44 in 27 minutes. Now, folks, that's just a little bit over half a game. Okay. Incredible. I mean, think about that. That's only a little over half of a game. That's outrageous.
It is outrageous. And that's just a symbol of how good Klay was. Number 7. There's going to be 3 Game 6 Klay moments on this list. The first one was Game 6 Klay Part 3. And what I'm referring to here is when he knocked down 8 three-pointers on the way to 30 points. Thompson shot 11 for 22, including 8 of 14 from long range, and notched his 4th career postseason game with 8 threes to tie Ray Allen, Stephen Curry, and Damian Lillard for most in NBA history. And this more specifically...
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
Because I'm not listing the name. This was in 2022 against the Memphis Grizzlies. This was the first time Game 6 Klay was called on since the injury. And he put up those numbers against Memphis to close out that series. Arguably the toughest series in that postseason. You could also mention the Celtics maybe. But just one more time, the numbers. 11 of 22 from the field. 8 of 14 from deep. 4th career postseason game with 8 threes. And they knocked out the Grizzlies in the process. Game 6 Klay, this was one of 3 Game 6 Klay moments that stuck out to me. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, basically, you can just leave off the 11 for 22, which sounds okay. But the bottom line for actual field goal percentage, he was only 3 for 8. Okay.
That's fair.
So it really was one that you basically just put down. He was 8 for 14 from long range, which is crazy. Because the bottom line, if you shoot 33%, from three-point range, that's equivalent to 50 from twos, which is outrageous. So the real break-even point for me always has been, you have no business ever shooting a three-point shot if you're an NBA player in a game unless the clock is running out and you have to shoot it up there if you're not at least a 30% shooter. 30% is in the high 40s. You can live with that. But anything below that, any guy in the 20s and stuff, he has no business ever shooting a three-point shot. Unless. But 8 for 14 is crazy. 10 in a row is just, well, obviously it's insane because nobody's ever done it other than him. Speaks for itself.
Truly insane. All right, here is number six on the list. Another Game 6 Clay moment. This is part two. We're going back to 2018. This is when the Warriors were trailing the Houston Rockets 3-2 in the Western Conference Finals. Game 6 was at home. They trailed in this game by 17 after the first quarter, but then here comes Game 6 Clay. Scored 35 points. He was 9 of 14 from deep. The Warriors push it to a game 7. They beat Houston in Houston in that infamous 0 for 27 game where Houston did not make a single three. But Game 6 Clay preceded that game, and he was a legend. Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, well, he did even better than the last one we were just reading.
Yeah, he did. All right. Number 14.
Yeah. People, you don't understand how just incredible shooting that is. It's just incredible. That is not an easy shot. I mean, it's not an easy shot. It's very difficult, although because it's become so instrumental in a team's success now, younger players are starting and learning how to shoot it at a much higher efficiency rate, and you're getting more and more really outstanding shooters. That's one of the reasons why the game has evolved and changed to the point where if you are not a good three-point shooting team, I don't think you have any chance of winning a championship nowadays.
It's hard. Look, the three-point shot didn't even exist when you played, at least not in the NBA.
I play ABA, and it came in last year's. In fact, I mean, I was trying to learn how to do it. I actually got player of the week one time when I was with the Rockets because I wasn't an integral part of their offense there. I only shot like 12, 13. I was passing. I was one of in the top 10 in assists, passing to Moses Malone and Calvin Murphy and Mike Nolan and Rudy Tomjanovich, Mike Dunleavy. All these guys are great shooters. And I still could shoot. I mean, I could still play. They just didn't ask me to do it. One game when Calvin was sick, I started at the two. I took 25 shots and had 37 points. So I said, you know what? I could still do this, guys, yeah. But you're not asking me to do it. So, but the thing is that I went 4 for 6, 6 for 8, and 8 for 12 that week. In fact, I was the first player to ever make 8 three-pointers in a game. And I just found that out recently because I never knew about this stuff. So I just found that out. The first one to do it, and it lasted for quite a long time before somebody beat that. And if I were playing today, I would not be satisfied unless I was a 40% shooter from three-point range or better.
Wow. Yeah. And that's what this was leading to is I'm curious to know if the three-point shot was emphasized back then, let alone legal. Like, what kind of shooter would you have become?
I would have kept working at it till I got to be a 40% shooter. I got to 33%, which is 50 from twos. It's respectable, but I always want more. I always try to get better. I mean, that's the whole thing is you should never, ever, ever, folks, ever be satisfied with what you're doing in your profession. You should always be striving to get better. I was the best free throw shooter in the game, and I still worked at it and changed my technique. I mean, it reminded me what Tiger Woods did, the best player in the world in golf, and changed his swing. I changed my technique in free throws my last 6 years. That's why I brag about this because it's the only part of the game you can be selfish and help your team. And nobody's trying to stop you. It's the same every time. So it's ridiculous that you can't shoot 80% from the free throw line. It's embarrassing. And last six years, I shot over 92%, which would be the best ever. And that's why I say, yeah, I still think I was the best free throw shooter. And my last two years, because I was doing that and I got better. And let me point this out. It's harder to shoot a high percentage when you're shooting fewer free throws, because if you miss in a game, you have to go weeks without ever missing again to get it back up into the high 90s. It's much more difficult. My early years, if I had this technique, I would have put up numbers that would have been obscene because I was shooting like 12 a game or more. I miss one free throw in that game. I can still get to be up over 90% in that game. And if I had been shooting with this technique, I think I would have had the record for consecutive free throws, which I had for a long time at 60.
Wow.
No, I know that I would have done way better than that because my last two seasons, I shot averaged over 94.7%. My last two full seasons, I missed 9 free throws in one season and 10 in the other for the entire season. And I was proud of that. And I tell you what, there was 19 times in those two seasons that I was really pissed off at myself.
What were they?
I missed 9 free throws and I missed 10 free throws. I should never miss. Gotcha. It's on me. The only reason I missed is because I didn't do it properly.
Who holds the record right now for most?
Well, I don't know, but Calvin, here's the funny. Calvin Murphy, who was a great free throw shooter as well. And I told him, Calvin, you're never going to win the free throw thing as long as I'm in the league, okay? And we used to have a fun running stuff because if I was in the game at the same time, there was a technical foul on the other team, I would always get to shoot it, not Calvin. And so the year after I retired, Calvin broke my 94-7 record.
I found it right now. Here are the all-time here's the top five for record holders for consecutive free throws made. Stephen Curry's fifth. He made 80 consecutive free throws.
I love it.
Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf is fourth. He made 81 consecutive free throws. Dirk Nowitzki is third on the list. He made 82 consecutive free throws. Second on the list, Jose Calderon made 87 consecutive free throws. And the record holder, if Yard Barker, my employer, has this correct, Michael Williams in 1993 made 97 consecutive free throws.
And I have great respect for that. That's fabulous. And I know Calderon, I remember him. He didn't shoot a lot of free throws per game. So trust me, that's an even more remarkable accomplishment, to get that percentage, because you miss one in one game. My God, you got to go a long, long time without missing any to be able to get yourself back up to a 90th percentile. So that's great. I have great respect for the guys who did that. I was always disappointed that I didn't do 100 or more.
that would be the record if you did that. And I don't know who Mike Williams is. Apparently he played
Michael Williams.
Are you familiar with him? He played the University
of Michael Williams. Yeah.
A power forward. He just is not a former Warrior. Apparently he was drafted with the fourth pick of the 86 NBA draft. And incredible. Supposedly that's who owns the record. That's kind of crazy. All right. I want to do some more research on that, 'cause that seems funky. Back to the list. Traveling Urquidez, no new update on Lauri Markkanen. I promise if that comes down, we'll do a show dedicated to a wildly successful summer for the Warriors. Going back to the list, though, we're honoring Klay Thompson. Number five is the single game three-point record. And that's saying something, that when we're doing a top 10 list of Klay Thompson's greatest moments, him owning the single game three-point record is fifth on my list. This was against the Chicago Bulls in 2018. Thompson broke the NBA record by converting 14 three-point shots out of 24 attempts, finished the game with 52 points, broke the original record of 12. And an interesting note on this game, this was the eighth game of the regular season. He was struggling the first seven games. And you've brought this up a lot regarding Klay, that sometimes he has slow starts. This season, entering this game against the Bulls, he was only 5 of 36 from deep. Entering this game, the floodgates opened. Game number 8, 14 of 24 from deep. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, you just shake your head. I mean, 14 of 24 is just obscene. I mean, it's just like all the other stuff that he did. I mean, even to be able to, to get up 24 attempts. Trust me, people, it's not easy to do. I mean, I got 49 shots up in one game.
Wow.
Yeah, mainly because we were exhausted. It was their fourth game in four nights in four different cities. We're playing in Chicago. And the guys all said, Rick, you got to carry, man. We're dying, because I was always in great shape, could run forever. I said, you guys are telling me you want me to shoot more? I said, well, see, I can't pass up that opportunity. Now, I didn't particularly shoot the hell out of it. I wish I had a game where I was shooting like this kind of percentage, like Klay did, 14 for 24 from threes. Hell, 14 for 24 from twos is unbelievable. That's great shooting. So, and here's the irony of it. I think I scored 49 or I might have, I think I was only, I think I only scored 49 points. I don't think I got 50, but anyway, we won on Nate Thurman getting an offensive rebound putback on one of my misses. It was great.
Every time I hear Nate's name, I always think two things. Nate's barbecue. For probably 15 years, I was eating that stuff regularly. And then we lost him. Speaking of former teammates of yours.
Yeah. One of the great ones, and one of the great people too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So going back to the Klay list, number four on my list, subjective list. This is my list. You could disagree if you want, but number four, the 2019 NBA finals. I thought the toughness he showed, he tore his ACL. The Warriors still incredibly, despite losing Kevin Durant to the Achilles injury himself, still had a fighting chance in that NBA final series against the Raptors. The fact that they pushed it to six games alone is impressive. But the moment where he tore his ACL, then still got back up, took the two free throws, finished that game with 30 points on 8 of 12 shooting. He was 4 of 6 from deep. I just thought that moment really stuck out to me in terms of the being having a heart of a champion. You know, most people who tear their ACLs do not stand up and finish playing. They leave. What were your thoughts on that moment?
That was a gutsy thing on his part to do it. The competitiveness that he has and the true warrior that he was, unfortunately, I have to say was, not that he is, because he's no longer a warrior, not in the sense of Golden State Warrior. But here's the thing. I probably wouldn't have put it at fourth, mainly because, I mean, what he did, 14 for 24, from an accomplishment is playing-wise, that's a little bit more than getting up and shooting two free throws. I mean, but it shows you his character, okay?
Yeah.
And how serious he was about the game and how he competed. So, yeah, that was pretty remarkable. And I'll point out something about this that I remember about that series that nobody ever talked about. The last play, if you remember in game six, when Steph wound up having to take that really crazy three-point shot, and you know, which maybe could have gone in, Draymond Green had come across. Draymond Green was wide open under the basket if they had thrown a lob pass to the basket. Go and watch the end of the game and the footage, and nobody said a word. Draymond had his guy sealed off, and it would have been an easy basket for the Warriors. I mean, because they didn't need 3 points at that point. They were down. I mean, they could have tied the game. Who knows what might have happened? But anyway, yeah, I remember that. I said, oh, God, they missed Draymond. Okay, so anyway, because when I see the game, I look at it and I see everything that's going on. And
No, that's a good point. I don't know if this is a peeve of yours, but it is a peeve of mine when you only need 2 points and a player still puts up a three. I'm not saying this moment specifically, but you did remind me of one of my peeves of basketball in general. Like, if you only need 2 points, why are you shooting three? I've never understood that. What are your thoughts on those kinds of plays? Because those drive me crazy.
I'm wholeheartedly with you. I mean, you take the easiest route to do it. You should have a specific play run to get an opportunity to get an easy two-point basket and options off of it. Now, if the option off of it, a guy gets free and you kick it to him and he's open, well, if he's open from the outside, you know, you may as well, if you're a good 3 point, you may as well take the three if you're taking a deep two anyway. Shit, you can win the game instead of just tying it. But your main objective should be to try the game, not to try to win it. I mean, if you happen to get that as a secondary aspect of the play, yeah. And that same thing, I give you another thing I relate to that drives me nuts again, and the same thing you're talking about here in relativity, is that in football, when it's 3rd and 4 or 3rd and 5 and a guy runs a route and he doesn't run past the freaking the first down marker to catch the ball, what the hell are you thinking?
I don't get that's another
how freaking complicated is that? How many yards you need to get a first down if you're a receiver, you take it a yard past that to make before you make your cut or do something to make sure if you do happen to get the ball and you catch it, you have a first down.
John Madden and Pat Summerall in their days, and I will forever miss those two broadcasting NFL games. Madden would go nuts every time a quarterback would do that, would throw a pass short of the first down marker. Just like you said, why are you doing that? You need a first down. You need 10 yards. Why are you throwing a 7-yard pass? I'm totally with you on that. Drives me crazy. I'd play that soundbite or the music drop, except it would violate copyright on YouTube, so I can't. But yes, for people who don't know what I'm talking about, on the Rick Barry show, we love, and this has been going on for years, playing that little cut from that one song, She Drives Me Crazy. But we can't do that on the show because it violates copyright. But number three of the Klay Thompson list, greatest moments ever, the 60-point game. Klay Thompson took 11 dribbles in 29 minutes, did not play the fourth quarter of that game, and finished with 60 points. He was the first Golden State Warriors player since 1974 when a gentleman named Rick Barry, do you know him? Are you familiar with him? Also scored 60 points. So that's number three.
Actually, I had 64 in that one.
Oh, well, I meant the 60-point threshold. But
I know what you meant. I know what you meant.
He scored 64. What was the game? Describe your 64.
Well, actually, it was against the Portland Trailblazers. And the funny thing about it is Bill Walton, God rest his soul, so sad about that. But anyway, because we got friends, he told me when we got to be friendly, you know, he says, Rick, I was at that game. We were playing Cal the next day, and they went to the Warriors game against the Trailblazers. And he got to see that game when I got 64, and Sidney Wicks was the main player who was guarding me. And that one, his team, you know, he's one of the UCLA guys, you know, Sidney Wicks. And so, yeah, he always brought that up to me. And I had to remember, and I know I scored 64. Be honest with you, I didn't remember. I said, God, you know, they got 64. The one thing I remember about that game more than anything is that the fans kept yelling every time I touched the ball. They wanted me to shoot the ball and everything. And, I just wanted to win. Fortunately, I looked and saw we did win the game, which is great because what the hell getting 64 and losing? Who the hell cares? we won. And I could have probably scored a hell of a lot more. But, I mean, if somebody else was open, I'm going to get the ball to my teammate if he's in a better position. That's just the way that I play the game. And as I told people, and I'm sure I said it here on the show before, I never in my life walked down a basketball court with the idea of how many points I wanted to try to score in the game. Never. Never.
Well, you're focused. That's what a focused player does.
I was trying to win, and yeah. I took what happened. Whatever happened, happened. It's just part of the thing. And sometimes, you know, it scored a lot of points and, you know, whatever. I mean, I never, ever thought I got to go out. I got to get 30. I'm going to try to get 30 today. I'm going to try to get 40. I want to get 50 in this. Never. Never.
Yeah. That's what great players do. Number two on my Klay Thompson list of greatest moments ever. The 37-point quarter. 37 points in an NBA quarter. Still an NBA record. I think it's awesome, by the way, that two Golden State Warriors players own the regular season and postseason records for most points in a quarter. Klay Thompson owns it with 37 in the regular season. Sleepy Floyd still owns the record for the postseason with 29. Klay did this against the Kings, finished the game with 52 points on 11 of 15 shooting from beyond the arc. And every time in that quarter, Klay was into it. I don't know if you remember that, but Klay was getting excited. It turned into a celebration. Steph was going nuts. 37 in a quarter. Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, that's remarkable. But it'd be a difficult thing to do without the three-point shot. So, but the thing that I make sure people understand is that no player could ever do something like that without the help of his teammates. Mm. So they knew he was going and they looked to get the ball to him. And the remarkable thing about Klay is the efficiency of his shooting. Like you said, only the 11 or 12 dribbles, whatever, 60 points. Same thing in here. I think there was only like maybe five. Somebody, I think, looked back and maybe he took less dribbles than that in that quarter. He just was killing it. What I'm trying to think about, who the hell was guarding him to ever be far enough away from him? I mean, my God. I mean, if this guy's shooting like that, I mean, yeah, I'm a half a step from him the whole time. The only way he's going to get open is run off a screen, and then the guy who's guarding the screener should be right up in his jock every time. Of course, they don't wear jocks anymore. They wear all this other stuff. But that's dating myself. So anyway, yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to think. How do you let somebody do that against you? I mean, there's no way anybody I'm guarding is getting 37 points on me in a quarter. I can tell you that. I mean, in the same way with, you know, somebody scoring Kobe getting 81, there's no way. If I'm a coach, I'm never going to let that happen, man. I mean, shit, somebody else is going to have to do it. I mean, this guy's shooting like that, and how'd he get open?
Well, because shouldn't you blame the finger more on the coach for not, you know, yes, calling timeouts?
Well, the player himself, too, but especially the coach calling a timeout. Hey, what the hell? You guys, hey, I'm embarrassed watching what you're doing out here.
Like, double team the guy. I mean, get the ball out of his hands.
First of all, he's catching and shooting. He has to be open for that to happen. How can you not be up on a guy that's doing that? Nothing else, make him put it on the floor and drive to the basket and get two only. Come
incredible.
On.
It's like incredible. Ridiculous. And the number one moment, again, subjective list. I'm sure people have their own ideas for what the best Klay Thompson moment was. But for me, game six, Klay, and this was 2016. That Thunder series, Rick, I did not think the Warriors were going to win that series. I went to game one. They lost at home. That was just a sign of things to come. That Thunder team was dangerous. Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook. I can't remember. Was Harden on that team too that year? I can't remember. But the Thunder were dangerous. And they had a 3-1 series lead. And game five of that series was in Oakland back when they played in Oracle. So the Warriors were expected to win that. That's fine. But no one expected the Warriors to win game six in OKC. And Klay Thompson exploded for 41 points, hit 11 threes. And that, to me, was the moment where it just Klay's greatness shined. so for me, that's number one. I know everyone has their different opinions on it, but your thoughts are on Game 6 Klay when it was born.
Well, anytime that you could perform at an exceptionally high level in a critical situation, in a must-win situation, especially in the playoffs, is a remarkable accomplishment. And so what he did was outstanding. Very few players have the capability to be able to do something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And my honest thought is this, Rick, and I don't know if you agree or not, but if to me, game six Klay, when that was over, and what I mean by that is like you stop seeing it in the postseason. Like the Warriors had a game six against the Lakers 2 seasons ago in the postseason. And in that game six, Klay was 2 of 12 from deep. And to me, that's when it was, you kind of realize it's over, you know? And I think and that's when the Warriors started to kind of, you know, not adore him with huge contract offers and all that stuff. So to me, that's when it ended. Any final thoughts on Klay leaving the Warriors, sir?
Well, I just, you know, I would say, you know, thank you for your 13 years of outstanding performance, for your courage, for your dedication to the team, to the game, to come back from your injuries, to be able to get yourself back to play at an elite level. Certainly not at the level that he once was at and some of the things that we've just gone over here, but certainly at a level that is superior to the majority of players in the game today who are even younger, who never had injuries like he had. What he's done with his career and coming back from those injuries is something very special, and it should be admired and respected by everyone.
Absolutely. And I hope you folks loved that list, at least taking a trip down memory lane to some of Klay's finest moments with the Golden State Warriors. Before we go, in the chat, a few people bringing up D'Anthony Melton. My only thought on Melton, I love this. I love the signing now that we're seeing other players coming in, and we know that that's not the finished product and the final transaction. What I don't want to see, Rick, and I'd love your thoughts on this, is Melton and Steph playing side by side a lot together. But the reason being, they're both 6'3", and I don't care how athletic you are. I don't care how good you are. 6'3 is 6'3. Physics do exist. And size does matter in the NBA. And defensively, you are a liability as a team when 2/5 of your team on the court is 6'3 or shorter. And that causes problems. So as long as we don't see a lot of that, I'm really happy with the Melton signing. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, it's all going to come down to how willing is he to accept the fact that he is not going to be on the court as much as he feels he is justified for being on the court. Because I agree with you. I don't see how you want to go that small. You know that occasionally they did it and tried to do it with CP3, who was actually a little bit taller than that. But still, it didn't work out as well as they would have hoped it would work out. The beauty of it is that the way that Steph plays, because he can create his own shot. Steph is so good, and he moves without the ball, and he runs his man into his teammates and makes them be screeners, even if they don't want to be screeners. I mean, a really good player makes his player a screener, whether he wants to or not. Because I told you before that the terminology has to change. Players don't set screens. You're an object of a stationary – well, you're supposed to be stationary. They move all the time, and that's because their teammate doesn't set up their man right. And he says, oh, I got to set a screen, so he moves, and it should be a foul. They don't call it, fortunately, for most players. Is that Steph is really good at doing that. And so Steph can play with someone else. So that's why, ideally, if I had an ideal team, my 1s, 2s, and 3s would all be outstanding ball handlers and facilitators, and I don't care who has the ball. I'd rather have that than one guy who dominates the ball, because if that one guy gets hurt, your team is a different basketball team. Whereas if you have 3 guys who can do it, the other team doesn't know who they're going to have to focus on, who they're going to have to guard. You can throw it out. You can run to different spots. You're moving and cutting and whatever. That's the ideal team for me. Ideally, I would love to have seen them have a 6'7" guy who could handle the ball and do stuff and let Steph run off the screens and do the other things, not have to work as hard dribbling and doing a lot of stuff. Because then when he catches it coming off the screen and he's open, he's such a quick shooter, he can get a shot off. But if not, he's also clever enough if he catches it to create his own shot if he needs to, if the clock's running down. Yeah. So ideally, that's what I would love to be able to see. And if I were running an offense and doing things with the team, I would try to do a lot more with that with Steph, depending upon who the personnel. Like he could do it when CP3 had it, obviously, if he's in the game with him. And so depending upon that, they may think in certain situations against certain teams that have Melton in there and have Steph doing all of that same stuff. And so you have to have diversity in your offense. And what you have to do, I think, as a coach, is you have to totally understand the capabilities and the talents of your personnel. And you put them in situations to take advantage of what they do best. You don't run an offense and force players to play your offense if it isn't conducive for their game. You put in an offense that works for your players' skills. Defense, different story.
Yeah, and East Coast Bias in the chat saying that the Celtics just won a title with 2 6'4" guards. Derek White is not a point guard. 6'4" and 6'4" is very different than 6'3" and 6'2". I don't want Stephen Curry to have defensive pressure on him. You need him to score, and I don't like having this diminutive backcourt putting that much pressure on Steph to be a defender. It puts too much. It's just too much on Steph. Steph needs to worry about scoring. I mean, I still don't know who the number two scorer on this team is. If it's Buddy Hield, outside of three-point shooting, I've not seen him be a groundbreaking playmaker. So he's a three-point shooter. Great. Defensively, he's okay. As a playmaker, ball handler, he's okay. It's apples and oranges comparing the Celtics backcourt, where you have two physically gifted 6'4" guys.
They had that in the past, Cyrus. Sorry to interrupt you, but I mean, just think back in the days with Dennis Johnson and Danny Ainge. They didn't have a point guard. They really weren't really great super. They were just two good-sized guys playing the two backcourt positions. And that's why I'm saying, if you have a three who can handle it and do the stuff too, now you have three guys who can do it. Just, I can tell you when I play, against certain teams, if the person that I was guarding, the responsible for guarding, I could run back knowing where he's going to be every single time. It was so predictable. When you have three guys who can do it, and like in my case, I think one of the reasons I created some problems is I would rebound and bring it up the floor.
Yeah.
I'd take the break. If somebody was ahead, I'd throw it. But if not, I'd take it up the floor. Well, that creates some decisions on the part of the defense. It's not like you know that, hey, Steph Curry's going to bring it up the floor every time, or this guy's going to bring it up the floor every time. No, if it's you don't know who it's going to be. And so it forces you to have to be much better defensively. And then if you run and you pass and you cut and you move, you force the defense to make numerous decisions. And what will happen is they're going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are. I mean, that was the whole thing. The Cleveland series was so typical of that. The play I remember more than anything else, when they were playing at home against the Cavaliers, and it was either Steph or Clay started outside on the left side, and he ran down, and they ran their man off of their big guy, whoever the hell it was. And then they came down, and it was another player stepping in. I don't know. I think it might have been Draymond, whoever. And J.R. Reed and LeBron James both jumped out on Steph or Clay because, you know, they're worried about the shoot. Pass inside, dunk. Why? Because they had to make a decision. They're worried about that great shooter and stuff. And if they didn't talk and communicate, that's the thing. You make them have to make decisions. They screwed up and you capitalize on it. But then you have to have smart enough players to capitalize on the mistakes that the defense makes. Basketball is not like football. It's not so complicated. It's very simple and basic. There's only five guys out there. But exactly. The more decisions you force the defense to make, that's why the Warriors have had so much success in what Steve Kerr did. The Warriors were the team that everybody's starting to finally been copying, where it's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 passes, cut, moving, pass. That's the way you play. It's fun to play that way. It's hard to defend, and it's fun to watch if you know the game. And that's why the Warriors had success. When they got in trouble with KD, the only time they really got in trouble, it was when they did that bad, they were unstoppable, totally unstoppable. Occasionally, when he was there, like especially the second year, they would go to, and he's going, and they give the ball to him, and all of a sudden, there's not 3, 4, 5, 6 passes, and he's there, and he's capable of doing it. But hey, if he's having a bad shooting game or stuff, they're not going to be as good a basketball team, and they weren't. And if he's missing his shots, it's a different offense. And they would get sometimes in trouble when they did that if he was having a bad game. The beauty of having somebody like him is that you can get the ball to him with 5 seconds on the shot clock and know he's going to get a shot off. Like Michael Jordan. I say same with Michael. They ran the old-fashioned, you know, the triangle offense, which is from the Stone Ages. The triangle. I was laughing. I said, I learned that when I was 5 years old. So yeah, what happened, though, they got invested 5 seconds. Michael has the ball. Get a shot. You can do that with Steph. You can do that with KD when he was there. Yeah. And if they screw around and do up, they could throw it always to Clay, who can chuck a shot up. So when they had those three guys, they were indefensible. There's no way when they play Warrior style basketball, you could defend that team with those three guys. Impossible.
With this current iteration, who do you rely on to score when teams decide to double Steph?
I have no idea. With this team,
because a couple people in the chat are saying Kuminga, who averaged 16 points a game last year, It's a huge if. He might be, but we don't know right now, well, right?
Like, here's the thing. He's improved, but he hasn't improved as much as he needs to.
Yeah, he's not there yet. He might be. He might be. This offseason, like, but it's a huge if. And right now, I'm a little concerned. Again, the Lauri Markkanen thing, if this happens, oh my God, this is, the Warriors are set. But right now, I'm a little concerned about who's relieving the pressure off Steph. And I don't want to see Steph and Melton minutes together. That not extensively. Because people brought up, for example,
you have to have someone else who not only is capable of scoring,
yeah,
but also is capable of facilitating.
Well, Melton can do that, which is good.
No, I'm talking about the bigger guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Kuminga, who can, he's got to become someone who not can just score some points for you, but also score points to the point where he's also going to get shots for his teammates as well. Yeah. Because once you know that somebody's really focused in on you, you can create other opportunities for your teammates. I got more satisfaction out of making a really good pass to a teammate for a basket than I ever did scoring myself.
Rick, you host the Rick Barry Show. And it's on the Mic'd Up app. What'd you say? I'm sorry.
I said occasionally.
Well, when you do, I just want to let people know, because one of the really cool things about your program, and by the way, you're also hosting a Big Three show. I want you to promote everything you have going on, but just to let people know, the Rick Barry Show is on the Mic'd Up app. So all you got to do is download the Mic'd Up app. And one of the really cool features of the Rick Barry Show is we play these audio recordings from viewers and listeners. So whatever you have on your mind, we play it. Rick, you address it. I think it's super cool. And those are for all the live shows. And then the recordings end up on this channel and other places. So people can download the Mic'd Up app. You've got a lot of sponsors. You're hosting a Big Three program. Promote away. Tell people everything that you want promoted, sir.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I'm doing it. I may be starting another one, the old school stuff. I mean, with Alexis Levi is a lady who's been involved. She used to own one of the WNBA teams, and we're doing some things. She's actually, I don't know why she's got this thing she wants to do. She's actually going to do a documentary about me. And so that's in the process of getting started. Now, hopefully I'll stay alive long enough for that to get.
Yes, you will. Don't talk like that.
Well, no, I'm trying to be at least 100 now. I might try to go for more than that. I don't know. We'll see, but that's up to God, you know, and I'll try to take care of myself, but who knows? But here's the thing that I will promote for people to go. Here's some websites for you to go to. And the code is my initials, RB24 is what you put in. You'll get a nice discount. You can go to medicileaf.com, MediciLeaf.com. It's all cannabinoid products, amazing products. The Platinum Pro Salve is off the freaking charts. It's such a powerful, powerful product. But check it out. That code's good for anything on the website. And then on the MediciLeaf side, again, not MediciLeaf, but on the...
Is that right there? Dude, the code is RB24.
RB24, MediciLeaf.com. Yeah, RB24, it's small letters, I think, but I don't think the capitals make any difference. But I usually put RB24 small letters. And that's all for all of these sites. And the other one is AloeMD, AloeMD.com. And the product there, same code, is Ultra Repair X. Okay, Ultra Repair X. And that is just another great product with an amazing aloe base that it has to it. And the code's good for all the other products on there. They have some amazing things that your wife or girlfriends or whatever, if you're a female, you might like as well. Amazing aloe products.
Is that correct right there? AloeMD.com and
AloeMD. Yeah, it doesn't have to be capital MD. It could be all small letters as well when you do that stuff. And then the code RB24. And then the third one is GoSleeves, GoSleeves.com. And this has kinesio tape built into these sleeves for knees and calves that help with the Achilles. They got elbow stuff. They're working on new things. Runners are going absolutely bonkers over this. Everybody that I've gotten in the pickleball world, I never play pickleball without them. I wear it even on my good knee. And I've got
that correct right there. The website, GoSleeves.com.
Yeah, it doesn't have
promo code work there too.
And they could be all small letters again too. Go, and the code is the same, RB24. And so, try them out. And if they work, I hope they work for you as well as they do for me. I use my Ultra Repair X. I mean, every day, if I have something really that's really concerning me, I'll do the Ultimate Pro X. I mean, the Platinum Pro Salve that's from MediciLeaf. And then, I never play pickleball without my Go Sleeves. And we've got a lot of football players. Some of the pro football players are starting to wear it. This is an amazing product. It really, truly is. And In fact, Leandro Barbosa, my captain on the go, on the big three team, which we got to find a winning. Boy, we gave a game away last week. We got to find a way to win against Nancy Lieberman's power team coming up this weekend back in Newark, right? Because otherwise we might not even make the playoffs. And that'd be heartbreaking to me because never been able to do that. But I really love the players on my team. Great guys. And we just didn't shoot the ball well. I mean, you can't win in today's game. And we were 1-for-13 in one game and lost that one. And then we were 5-for-21. You can't win doing that, but we came close with 5-for-21, still winning. Too many turnovers, second chance opportunities. We just kind of shot ourselves in the foot. But my guys work hard, got a great attitude. Hopefully we'll play well this next game and get into the playoffs. But Leandro, I got him some sleeves. He loves them. I mean, he absolutely loves the sleeves.
You also got Draymond Green some, and they were never delivered.
They never even used them. They never even said thank you for trying to help them. I asked Draymond, All-Star Bakes, Draymond, what did you think of the sleeves? He said, what are you talking about? I wasn't happy with the staff. I don't blame you.
That's not cool. I mean,
I'm just trying to help out Draymond and do something good for him and everything. And these are great products. I wouldn't have sent them a bunch of junk. And I can't believe that they took all that product and stuff and never said thanks. I mean, you just don't do that. That's not cool, man.
No, I agree. It
could have helped him with his recovery to get back. I mean,
to summarize, Rick, Warriors legend, Hall of Famer, one of the greatest players ever, Rick Barry, you sent these ghost sleeves to the Warriors so Draymond and other players can wear these and help them out. And they were never actually delivered.
They were never given to the players. I know they weren't given to Draymond because I asked him about it and he didn't have any idea what I was talking about. But anyway, that is what it is. I mean, what the hell are you going to do? It's unfortunate. Well, it's the same thing. I can't even tell you. I have spoken to a number of players about, say, look, I'm telling you right now, I can show you some things that will take your game to a whole new level, things that you're not doing right now. If you'd like to do that, let me know. I'm still waiting for the phone to ring.
Sorry.
I did that
is not cool. Yeah,
I did that with LeBron. Never heard back.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron is a slightly different story, maybe just because he's, you know, so busy. But for the Warriors to just not deliver your products, that's not cool, Rick. That's not cool. Anything else you want to promote? So we got one more time, real fast, because I actually made banners for these. We got MediciLeaf, MediciLeaf.com for the podcast listeners. The code is RB24. We got AlloMD.com. Again, use the code RB24.
And they go for Ultimate Repair X is the product.
Ultimate Repair X.
Okay, yeah, on that site. Yeah. Ghost Sleeves, just check it out and read about it. You'll see it's great for recovery. It's just absolutely a fabulous, fabulous product. So, yeah. And if anybody owns a company or runs a company with lots of employees, you should try to get back to me because I can help save you a whole bunch of money and do a lot of good things for your employees and cost you absolutely nothing.
Well, that sounds like a deal.
Or I got to get Joe Lacob to do it for the Warriors. I don't know. I got to get a hold of Joe.
Oh, and Joe's your boy. Well, Joe, I hope, is your boy. I mean, I played that clip on the old show. It was one of the last shows I hosted there. I made sure to play that clip and I should probably play it on this show again. But, of you standing up for Joe Lacob during Chris Mullin's jersey retirement. And I hope to this day, Joe Lacob shows appreciation for you for doing that because this fan base was ready to riot at that game. They were so pissed at Joe for taking the mic and they were pissed at him for trading Monte Ellis. And you were up there and 20,000 people in that arena, the moment you started speaking, shut up and started showing respect to Joe Lacob.
Here's the thing. It was only a few of the younger people out there who were idiots. It's Chris Mullin's jersey retirement. What the hell are you doing? I mean, my God, show some respect, you know, for one of the great Warriors players, one of the great people. I love Chris. In fact, he's getting into pickleball, but he's getting over an injury and stuff. His wife is hooked on it. So I'm trying to get Chris to go ahead and get into playing, and he said he's been trying to do it. But that was not right for that, and it was not fair to Joe Lacob. I mean, you know, as I said, you know, this man's willing to put his money up and spend it to try to help get you a champ. Now, you look back on it and everything. Oh, let me see. Monte Ellis, Steph Curry. I think he made the right decision.
yeah, I think so too. Oh man, Rick, I think we covered everything.
Happy Fourth, everybody. I hope all is well with you and enjoy the holiday. I know that I'm looking forward to the Olympics for the first time in a long time because you know I still you know always root for the USA, but to know that my son is going to have an opportunity to possibly be on the podium and get a medal. That would be unbelievable. I got the good fortune of watching him do that. He was 2 gold medal AmeriCups. He got a gold medal for the Pan Am Games. He got a gold medal for the World Cup Championships. He's had great success in the commitment that he's made to USA Basketball. So I'm proud of him and happy that they, I think, respected and appreciated his commitment to USA 3x3 basketball by putting him on the team with the guys that traveled the world last year and got themselves qualified. And they had to go to a trial and a tryout to do it, and they kept them together. So I'm really happy. Jimmer Fredette, of course, you know, who went to the, you know, NBA player, then went overseas and was a huge, huge success over in China. And, you know, he's a super valuable. He's probably, you know, he's one of the top players in 3x3 in the world right now. And, you know, my son compliments him, and Dylan Travis, Division II player who does all the little things out there. He's been a great asset. And then Kareem Maddox, who played at Princeton, has been on a number of teams, another really good player. So check it out, folks. They start playing, I think, on July the 30th, and the games are all going to be covered, obviously, on various outlets for TV. And
we'll cover that as well. I made a promise to the audience when Olympic basketball starts, we're hosting a show after every one of those games. I don't care what time of night it is, because I know they're playing over in Paris. We're going to have a post-game show after every one of those games. Rick, you are invited. You have a standing invite anytime you want it.
Hey, just so you know, here's the thing. They know, because even the 3x3, they're playing late at night all the time. Which is why? Because of the time difference to try to get it so it comes back to the United States at a reasonable hour to be able to watch, instead of playing at their normal time, which would maybe be like at 4 o'clock in the morning or something like They're playing real late at night over there. So it's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. They're actually, they just won the tournament up in Quebec last weekend, and they're playing up in Canada again. I think, I'm trying to think of where it is, Edmonton, I think it might be. Anyway, they got it this weekend, and then next week they got a big deal. USA Basketball is down. They've got an exhibition game, and they're going to play a little bit at halftime down in Las Vegas next week when USA Basketball, which my wife's part of, their 50th anniversary for that as well in Vegas next week. So, and then the summer league's getting started up, of course, also. So a lot of stuff going on in the world of basketball this summer. And hopefully we'll get some news. I would be really excited if they could find a way to get marketing.
Absolute game changer. If you don't lose Kuminga, I know, like, I love Brandon Pajemski too. Like, but I value Kuminga more. And if they can keep Kuminga and you add Lauri Markkanen, I'm excited and I'm pumped. I'm ready for this season. And Rick, how cool is it that, like, in a matter of what, a week, 2 weeks, we get to see Stephen Curry play summer ball? That Team USA squad, that it's might be a little old depending on how you look at it, but that's a team that is deep. That I think that could rival the Dream Team. I don't know if they beat them, if they in a hypothetical one-on-one matchup, but I'm excited, Rick. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how well they gel together and do it. But the thing about it is they learned a valuable lesson. And Jerry Colangelo is really responsible for this, who was, you know, involved with the Phoenix Suns. And he's one of the lead guys with USA Basketball and their committees. He's the one that finally said, look, you just can't nowadays, you can't just pick all the star players and expect them to be great, because all the other teams are great, because a lot of the great NBA players are going to be on these teams for their countries. Correct. But you have to be able to put a team together. So you need the guys who are going to be the tough defenders and the other. You need role players. You don't need all Indian chiefs. You know, you need some members of the tribe as well. It's not just all chiefs playing. And the Dream Team was something different and unique because they're all great players. But again, that's coming from years and years back when fundamentals were such an important part. And these players today, as great as some of them are fundamentally, a lot of them really are not as sound as you would like them to be. And as great as they are, if they really understood the game and the nuances of it and how to utilize the amazing God-given talents they have, they would be better players. But back in our days, you can get all-star games, which were games and competitive stuff then, which is just an exhibition now. When we got together, we could play really good basketball because we knew the fundamentals of how to play the game. And so that's the biggest difference in the game today. So we'll see. And they've got, you know, a lot of great three-point shooters there. They've got guys who are the hard-nosed guys who play tough defense. You know, guys like Adebayo from the Miami.
Bam
Adebayo. I mean, stuff, guys like, you know, so I think they did a nice job. And Jerry Colangelo is the guy responsible, I think, for that, for taking a different look at the chemistry and the makeup of the team.
Absolutely. Super excited for that. Rick, you must be – I have no idea what noun or verb to or adjective to apply to how you're feeling when it comes to seeing your son playing on the 3-on-3 team. That is remarkable. And again, we're providing all the coverage here for that. And speaking of Summer League, Mark Spears of ESPN will be joining the show during that time. Every day, 5 days a week, catch the Golden Days. Rick, I love you, brother. I love you.
You're all the best.
You're an all-timer, man. And I can't thank you enough for always taking time to work with me and host with me. And we'll do this again soon. Happy 4th of July, Rick.
Thank you. Same to you and same to all you people who are listening in. And if they rerun it sometime at all and it's not and they play it again somewhere, I think we had a lot of good fun stuff there that you'll enjoy.
Absolutely. Bye, everyone. Thank you.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
True or false? Walmart has eye care. True. Stop by Walmart to save and browse top designer frames right where you already shop. And they accept most insurance. Welcome to Easy Eye Care. Welcome to your Walmart.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.